At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is VSiN Tonight with veteran handicappers Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number two of VSiN Tonight. Dave Ross in for Matt Eumanns alongside Wes Reynolds here at Circus Sportsbook, fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Wes, what were you doing at 15 years of age? Do you remember?
What I was not doing with this young man down on the...
You knew where I was going with this.
Yes.
Miles Russell, 15 years young, made a professional golf event on the Korn Ferry Tour today, becomes the youngest player in the history of golf to make a cut at a Korn Ferry event.
Mm-hmm.
15. I guess my question would be this. Like, Miles Russell, never heard of you. And by the way, I hope this is the start of a blossoming career.
He, by the way, is the American Junior Golf Association, the AJGA Boys Junior Player of the Year award winner. He actually, in 2023, last year, surpassed Tiger Woods as the youngest ever to win that award.
15. So, like, I look at this stuff and I go, why didn't... Did Tiger try to make cuts at 15? Like, do we just do this
right.
for everybody,
yeah,
right?
I mean, look, he played amateur events, or as an amateur, obviously, on the PGA Tour a couple times. But this Miles Russell kid, he looks like he's about 120 pounds soaking wet. But he got some big power and a very nice golf swing as he makes the kid from Jacksonville Beach down in Florida, youngest ever to make the cut on the Korn Ferry Tour. And you know what? People say, oh, that's a minor league tour. That's a hard tour.
Yes.
Because you got to fight. You know, these guys are grown-ass men trying to, you know, either get on the PGA Tour or... you know, return to the PGA Tour,
right.
You know, that have had to drop down, that lost their playing privileges. And, you know, that's what they're trying to do.
They're not rolling out the red carpet for the kids here. Like, these are my spots.
This is a hell of an accomplishment.
Yeah, it really is. So kudos to Miles Russell, becomes the youngest golfer ever to make a cut at Korn Ferry at the age of 15. Absolutely spectacular. We're looking for history on the LPGA, and that would be done by Nelly Korda if she can win this first major of the year for the women at the Chevron Championship. But you know what's interesting here is she's in third place, and I believe she's just one off the lead. But what's different is the numbers. This time yesterday when you and I were doing the show, if you wanted to back Nelly Korda, she was about +$1.80, +$1.90, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she's still not in first, but only one spot out, trailing 280s for the first spot here after day two of the Chevron, she's still moved up. It's +$1.30, so about 50 cents. You don't get that value on it today. What do you make of Nelly here so far? And I got up to watch a little bit of her round today, and it looked like she's just kind of like, I don't want to say the Scottie Scheffler of the women's tour, but it's effortless. It doesn't look like she's putting in a ton of effort. And yet you look up and she's only one off the lead.
Yeah, and actually was in the tough end of the draw, having to go out late on Thursday and early on Friday, because Thursday about almost two strokes tougher in terms of how the conditions played. But nevertheless, Nelly Korda right there, just one back at a lead. Athaya Titicul, who is a top 10 player in the world, shares that lead, who's been close in majors at least a couple times. And she is one ahead of Nelly Korda. So Nelly Korda, I believe, is going to be playing in the second-to-last group tomorrow. Jin-Hee Im also at 8-under par. So Nelly is at 7-under. And actually, they're going to be a threesome. So they're going to be in the final group tomorrow. So, look, you've got some pressure with Nelly Korda playing in the final group with you. So I tend to think, Dave, she's going to get it done here. I just think that she's putted beautifully. Yep. She's played a really solid game and, you know, is right there. Now Titicul is a quality player. She is currently, I believe, 12-1 at DraftKings to go ahead and win this thing. Jin-Hee Im never really has been a big time contender here. So I would think, you know, it's on Nelly Korda here, but there are some decent players working in some big names, down there with, Lydia Ko,
yep.
Is it 4-under?
She's at 22-1, by the way, 4 off the lead.
Yeah, so she's somebody to go low. Like Brooke Henderson is 6 back at 2-under. Like she would have to go really low. But, I think Nelly is going to get this done.
She's going for 5 in a row, which would tie a record, I believe, set by two women previously, Annika Swordstam and Nancy Lopez, in the history of the LPGA to win 5 events in a row. And oh, by the way, this is the first major, so it'd be nice to get that accomplishment by winning that major championship. And yeah, from what I witnessed, it was almost ho-hum, no problem, and maybe not even with her A game. And again, I think there are some correlations to what I saw today from Scottie Scheffler at the RBC Heritage. Now, Scottie Scheffler right now, he had a 6-under par round as you can have. I mean, Wes, it's just stress-free. Now, again, you got a jammed leaderboard here at the RBC. You got 4 guys tied for the top spot at 11-under par with Tom Hoagie, Sepp Straka, Kyle Morikawa, and JT Poston, who was the overnight leader. Still backed it up with another fine round today. So all those guys are 11-under. And yet Scottie Scheffler, who is right now 3 off the lead of 4 guys, and there's a couple guys at 10-under too, so it's not even like he's in fourth. Scottie Scheffler is still 6-1 in the betting market. One of those guys at 10-under par, 1 off the lead, is Ludvig Åberg. And man, oh man, oh man. I had a head-to-head with him and Rory McIlroy today. They go to 17 all knotted up. Par 3. Sticks it to about 1.5 feet. Kick in birdie. Birdie's 18. Walks off 1 of the lead. I mean, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm not saying he's passing the torch from Rory McIlroy, who he was playing head-to-head with today, but man, you look at this board, it feels like a major championship with the names up there if we're looking at Ludvig Åberg as one of the guys that's already arrived.
Yeah, Ludvig led the field on approach through 2 rounds, almost 3 strokes gained just on round average. So that's almost gaining 6 strokes on the field. 2.90 on average through 2 rounds. Greens in regulation right up there. Number 1 is at 31 of 36. So the ball striking has been impeccable. In terms of what I have a couple. I have one that is sharing the lead. That is Sepp Straka at 11-under par. We got a 4-way tie, by the way, for the lead. Tom Hoagie, who amazing on approach every single week. Sepp Straka, Colin Morikawa, and JT Poston. And then the crew at 10-unders, Ludvig Åberg, Patrick Rogers, Mackenzie Hughes, Patrick Cantlay, and Sahith Theegala at 9-under par. And then there's Scottie Scheffler, just 3 back at 8-under par. So Morikawa now the favorite at $4, Ludvig at 5, Scheffler at 6, and then Poston 9, Sepp Straka 10, Patrick Cantlay 10. So, look, I still think that this is pretty wide open. If Ludvig Åberg continues to hit the irons, though, like he has, then he's going to win the whole thing, because that's just stellar approach play that he has had really throughout this event. So, you know, usually I think putting kind of regresses. The guy that's been living off their putter a little bit, Tom Hoagie, Mackenzie Hughes, JT Poston. So the guys that have really been killing it on approach, you know, Ludvig, I think mainly, Scottie Scheffler, Sepp Straka, those guys are right there. So I'll have to look overnight to see what matchups, if I'm going to do any matchups here, but nothing I'm really going to add right now. But I'll be looking, I'll be monitoring this all weekend to see if I want to hedge at some point in these rounds. And, you know, with a couple contenders at least in place, I can go ahead and do that.
You've got that 64 that Tom Hoagie shot today. It was tied for the best round of the day with some guy named Xander Schauffele. Now, X-Man shot one over par and kind of becomes an afterthought when you're starting off the day nine back of the lead. Now, he shoots 64 as well, and he was playing with Kyle Morikawa. So Morikawa, of course, right there, as you mentioned, at the top of the leaderboard. When I was watching the X-Man play, and I look and I see 40-1. Now, he's five back, but he's five back of four guys.
Mm-hmm.
And then, not including that in the five back of four guys, he'd also have to beat the Scottie Schefflers, the Rory McIlroys, the Ludwig Oberts. Is that too much of a class field for Xander to make up in 2 days? Or do you think Xander still says, no, I got myself right back into this thing. Yeah, I'm five back, but if I go shoot a couple more 64s, I could be right back in this thing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily too far back with still two rounds, 36 holes left to play. I still think, there's certainly room and there's certainly rounds out there to shoot 64 or perhaps to shoot 63. And actually, if you look in recent years, eight of the last 11 years, now this applies after 54 holes,
mm-hmm.
eight of the last 11 years, the eventual winner has been two or more strokes back.
Wow.
After 54 holes. So you can come back. Now, granted, these are stronger fields than they've been in years past, but we've only had three 54-hole leaders in the last 11 years go on to win here.
Wow.
Carl Pettersson in 2012, Stuart Sink in 2021, and then Matt Fitzpatrick last year. And Fitzpatrick, of course, had to win a multiple-hole playoff against Jordan Spieth last year.
That's right. Yeah, so it does feel like, wow, there's so much cream rising to the top of this thing. I wouldn't necessarily discount some of those guys at six or seven right now, those class players like Xander Schauffele. But again, you don't leave yourself any margin for error because you got to assume somebody with that class leaderboard is going to go low, right? Mm-hmm. You can't expect everybody to shoot an even par or a one under
sure.
and give you that chance to come back. So fascinating board. By the way, these elevated events, and I know that it's been talked about a lot. It does feel a little bit gimmicky. But when you get to the elevated events, I know it's exclusionary. Do you kind of like it that it does have another, not major championship field coming off the heels of the Masters, but boy, it's a pedigreed field.
Well, yeah, you like a lot of good players in the mix, and to see if some of these guys that are kind of like, really good, consistent players mix it up with the great ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, so absolutely. And we've seen that so far this year. This has not been, Scottie Scheffler aside, this has not been a chalky year
no.
on the PGA Tour.
And that's why you're seeing some of those names like the Sepp Straukes, the Tom Hoagies, with some of the elite players like a two-time major champion in Kyle Morikawa and certainly Scottie Scheffler. Okay, when we come back, let's talk about the NFL draft because can you believe it's 6 days away before next Thursday's draft? We'll discuss next when you come back with us on VSiN Tonight.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see the changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2 week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't miss out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making better betting decisions and start doing so today. Back alongside Wes Reynolds, Dave Ross here. We are set. Finally, it is complete. We know the 8 participants out west in the NBA. Certainly we knew in the east with the Heat disposing of the Bulls earlier this evening to grab that 8 seed. Now the 8 seed in the west has been claimed by the New Orleans Pelicans. The game stays under the total with the Pellies getting a relatively easy win, 105-98 over Sacramento, depending on the number. New Orleans is covering all those numbers as well. Flip favorites there a couple times back and forth. But here we go. New Orleans now gets the 8 seed. They're going to play OKC at the 1. And we do have numbers already out. And I think, Wes, you and I are a little bit surprised that OKC opens as an $8 betting favorite in the series price against New Orleans. They are really, I'm assuming, factoring in that Zion Williamson, they're just not counting on him being
yeah, there. That and maybe the fact that, look, the Pelicans now, this will be their third game. Of course, they played Wednesday night, then had to play Friday night, and then have to play Sunday. So third game in 5 days. Thunder have been off for a week, last played on Sunday in the regular season finale. So, yeah, what I'm seeing now for game one, DraftKings has put out Oklahoma City 8.5. And 215.5 on the total. That is out there for game number one. And then you mentioned the series, -$8 +550. That does seem a little bit high. That doesn't mean I'm rushing to bet New Orleans right necessarily, but that does seem a little bit high for a team that's pretty damn unproven in the playoffs in Oklahoma City. But I think the line, you know, 8.5, a little bit inflated. I think you'd want to lay like 6.5 or 7. I would think instead, because they're obviously accounting for the fact of no Zion, and then the fact that the rested team has done well, at least in game number one. Doesn't mean they win the series, but they've done well in game number one, at least. And the premium already put in there for the Thunder for game one.
So that now is the 1-8. I do want to get to one other thing here. And again, we're going to talk much more about the NBA playoffs, and I will get back to the NFL draft before this hour is done. But we're going to have Trevor Lane join us in the next segment to talk all things Lakers in their series with Denver. But I just saw this, and we had mentioned this last night on the show. Shams Charania does a great job in Chicago. Was saying basically Giannis could miss 2 to 4 weeks with that calf injury for the Bucks. But now Doc Rivers says Damian Lillard did practice and looking better for Sunday. And Doc Rivers has come out and said he's not counting out Giannis. Quote, unquote, there's still hope that Giannis can go in game one. Now, what's interesting to me, Wes, there's been no movement in the number.
Mm-hmm.
The Bucks are still 1-point dogs here at home to Indiana. Is this part of that smoke of like, hey, we're not, never say never. Like, we're holding out hope that maybe our stud can get back there. But, boy, there's a big difference between missing 2 to 4 weeks with a calf injury, as reported by somebody I trust and know very well in Shams, And I get the head coach is probably saying, hey, forget what you're hearing out there. We're not saying that he's done for game one.
He's got to say that, though. I mean, you know, he's got to at least, you know, make the other side kind of prepare like, oh, he may play here. And then obviously sell it to your fans that, hey, don't give up on us yet. You know, don't be like Dan Moneyline Miller and give up on your Bucks. You know, it's just like, yeah, I like the Pacers now. They're finished. So, yeah, he wants to get the Dan Moneyline Millers back in the fold and, you know, fear to the deer and all that happy horse bleep and you know, all that stuff. But anywho, yeah, look, we've talked about this series, and I think that it's moved up probably properly, and maybe you could even argue a little bit too much now with the Pacers now pretty much all across the board the clear favorite to win this series, because it was $2 on the first open, and I was like, hey, Giannis, hey, he might not go game one or maybe even game two, and then all of a sudden it got moved down. That's where I got it on the second move at plus 140. Wish I would have been smart enough to take it. I was engulfed in Masters coverage at the time, but took the plus 140, and then all of a sudden this was minus 110 on both sides last week, or over the last few days, I should say. And now you're seeing minus 125. Like, there's the belief in the Pacers here. There's the absolute belief. So you might have some contrarians that do come in and say, hey, I'm going to get the Bucks at plus money. So I do think that some are going to maybe gobble up that 105 that's out there at a few shops tomorrow.
And that is fascinating. We're also maybe – the smaller news is Damian Lillard, that people forget. I think there's so much concentration put on Giannis and his injury. They say, hey, Dame's going to be good. He's good to go. But when you have to do that, it's almost like, what are you even getting with Dame Lillard?
Right.
So if you don't have Giannis, and again, Doc saying he's holding out hope that he can go in game one, I'm not buying that. I'm with Wes on this one. I think that it's been accounted for, and that's why you're seeing obviously where the number is. But really, my question would be, how do I back the Bucks if it is, in fact, no Giannis, and this is the version of Dame? Like, we're hoping for the healthy version of Dame, and the Pacers got to come in here thinking, man, we got some wounded animals over there. We got to take advantage of this thing.
Yeah, 100%. And look, the Pacers did win 4 of 5 in the regular season. However, you can't put so much stock into that because all 5 of those meetings were in November and December. And this was long before Doc Rivers was still working on ABC with Mike Breen and Doris Burke, before he became the head coach. And also before Pascal Siakam went south of the border from Toronto and became an Indiana Pacer via that trade. So, you know, there's a lot of mystery to this series in terms of how this is really going to play out. And the fact that, look, the Pacers, I know we were talking with Chris Fedor earlier from Cleveland about the Cavs Magic series. Pacers have been a little bit of that in the second half of the season. Now, they didn't start out as red hot as the Cavs did, but you know, the Pacers have been kind of a little up and down the second half of the season. Tyrese has not been, I don't think, as good as he certainly was in the first half of the season, pre-All-Star break. But this is a Pacers team that I will say, against the good teams in the league, have done very well. 27-21 against the playoff teams. That's second best record in the East, Rob, behind Boston, of course. But you know, the Pacers, you know, have proven it. It's what's been disappointing is when they lose to kind of the bad teams. Well, there's no more bad teams that they're going to play here necessarily. So I think if you got the early series price on the Pacers, you did a very good job. I would not be betting it right now, though. I think, you know, sometimes when you're just late, you just kind of let it go. And that's what I would recommend.
Moneyline Miller, is that true? Are you off the Bucks bandwagon for certain? Okay.
Now he's a maybe.
Here's what Dan Moneyline... If Giannis doesn't play, maybe. I mean, what is that?
Yes.
If Giannis doesn't play, maybe, he ain't playing. This is a smokescreen by Doc Rivers. By the way, and we always talk about following the local reporters, right? Because they're there. They're at practice. And one of the local reporters asked Doc today, was Damian Lillard able to practice it? Doc said, yeah, he looked good. So Rivers confirms that Dame was able to do, quote unquote, everything in practice today. But as far as Giannis, when it comes to Giannis today, he was there, but was he able to go today? He was at the gym, this is in quotes, walk through stuff, but didn't do anything live. So take that for what it's worth, people. I know we're trying to suck Dan Moneyline Miller and those Bucks faithful back, but I would not be sold a bill of goods here that you're going to get Giannis on Sunday.
Yeah, and look, you mentioned Dame. There's a low-key rivalry there with he and Tyrese Halliburton because of that, and, you know, a little bit of trash talk, and also in Indianapolis, which was the showcase, obviously. Remember Tyrese Halliburton, the All-Star game, hit like 5 threes in the first quarter?
Yeah.
It was Dame Lillard, man, that was chucking and ducking all throughout that game, though. He wanted to win that MVP in Tyrese's city. You know, Tyrese was kind of playing with the, you know, hey, you know, I'll distribute the ball and be the point guard. Dame wasn't distributing jack. He was jacking him up is what he was doing. So there's a little bit of rivalry between those two. I think, you know, not hatred or anything, but definitely
a healthy rivalry.
Competitive dislike, shall we say.
There's nothing wrong with that in the world of sports, that's for sure. So again, Pacers still 1-point favorites over the Bucks. A high total there, 231.5. And again, I know small sample size. You could say, all right, today, for instance, that the Pellies were able to win easily without Zion. The Heat were able to win easily without Jimmy Butler. But this is a different. Indiana is not on par with the other teams those teams were able to beat without their superstar, right?
Sure.
That's where the difficulty comes in. It's not as easy as saying, well, without Giannis, because these other teams are able to get by without their star. Mm-hmm. Indiana should put some real resistance in there if Giannis cannot go. And again, Doc saying, holding out hope. Shams is saying something completely different. When we come back, Trevor Lane's going to join us. We're going to break down the Lakers and the Nuggets and get the L.A. side of things. That's next here on VSiN Tonight.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We continue VSiN Tonight. Dave Ross and Wes Reynolds coming at you here from Circus Sportsbook, fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Getting fired up for the second season here in the NBA. Everything is set now with New Orleans getting by Sacramento. So they grab the 8 seed. They will play the 1 seed, OKC. But Wes, it does feel like if there's a marquee series in round one out west, it's the reigning defending Denver Nuggets taking on the L.A. Lakers. Let's bring in Trevor Lane, host of Lakers Nation and the NBA Front Office Show. Follow him on X at Trevor_Lane. Joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Trevor, great to have you. I know L.A. is excited for this series, but where is the optimism coming from? After what we saw last year, why do the fans at least, and hopefully the players, think it'll be different this time around?
You know, I think the hope is, well, first of all, fans are just by nature eternally optimistic about their about their club. But, you know, the Nuggets are the heavy favorite going into this one. But the hope is that LeBron James is healthier than he was last playoff series when the Lakers took on the Nuggets. He was kind of playing on one foot out there. He's dealing with an active injury, and he's in better shape right now. He's feeling better. And so there's some hope there with that one. D'Angelo Russell has been in a much better rhythm this season. He's going to be a really important X factor for the Lakers. And then just the belief that, you know, at some point the Lakers have got to find a way to get past the Denver Nuggets, that they're due to figure out some solutions to the problems that they pose. All of those things, I think, are driving the optimism right now for the Lakers and the idea that they can somehow pull off the upset and get the win.
Trevor, we've heard it ad nauseum. I'm sure you guys have heard it out there in Los Angeles. 8 straight losses to Denver. Of course, the Western Conference final sweep, the revenge night opener, which, you know, usually can come through, did not this time. Kobe night when the statue was unveiled, that it's been the same. You know, Denver, the starters get an early lead. The Lakers battle back, and then they hang around, and then Denver kind of closes it out in the final 3 or 4 minutes of the game. What adjustments, though, do you expect the Lakers to make? Because what we've seen that's been a common refrain, at least in those last few games, obviously Jokic averaging 28-13-11, certainly that's a bit of a problem, but AD's been a little inconsistent, and D'Angelo Russell, you just haven't been able to play him defensively. So what do you expect that Darvin Ham is going to try to do differently in terms of maybe some of the rotation changes for the Lakers?
Well, I think we're going to see him continue to cut down to an 8-man rotation. We saw last game against the Pelicans in the play-in where the Lakers essentially eliminated the minutes that went to Spencer Dinwiddie and gave those to Gabe Vincent. I think he's going to be critical defending Jamal Murray in this series. He's been essentially out for the entire season for the Lakers, but he's started to pick things up now that he's returned, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. So that's going to be an important shift for him, is coming in to defend. There's sometimes that will be for D'Angelo Russell. D'Lo has been better this season than he was defensively last season. Not that it makes him a good defender, just he's been a little bit closer to average. So if he can at least be locked in there and not be a huge negative on that side of the floor, that would be big for the Lakers. Of course, if he can get his offensive game going, that's going to be critical as well. But I think that we're going to see the Lakers try to be more disciplined. Everything we're hearing from the team has been discipline about the looks that they're taking on the offensive end. And that's where they've really struggled in closing out games. They tend to go away from their offense. They go more ISO heavy basketball against the Nuggets. And that just doesn't work against this team. So I'm expecting to see them run their offense more down the stretch against the Nuggets, trust some guys to make shots that aren't LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and take what the defense gives them. They've had a lot of success playing that style of basketball over the course of the season. And I think it's going to be an important shift that they're going to have to rely upon here now that they're in the playoffs.
It's so funny, Trevor, because you look across the NBA landscape here for the playoffs, and home court feels like it doesn't matter in some of these series. This one, it feels like it's so important, right? So we know the refrain. You try to get one on the road when you're going to Denver for the first two, getting 7 points in game one. How important is game one, though? I don't want to say win, lose, or draw, because obviously you'd love to get the W. But if you show that those changes and that you're right there at the end of game one to say to the Nuggets, hey, this is going to be a knockdown dragout, and if we can catch one in Denver, maybe we can hold serve at L.A. and wrap this up in six. Is that the mentality of the Lakers going in?
Yeah, I think that always is for the road team going into those first two games. It's that you've got to at least get one of them. But I think that in particular for this Lakers team, given that you haven't beat the Denver Nuggets in your last eight tries, I think there is a mental side of this that could really be alleviated if they are able to get game one, to prove to themselves, to prove to everybody else that they can beat this team. So game one, I think, is going to be even more important than we see in a typical seven-game series because of that factor. If the Lakers can come in and get a win, then that is going to provide plenty of confidence. Whereas if it goes the other way, if we see the same old game script
right,
where the Nuggets in the final 3-4 minutes, they pull away with it, then it's oh no, the adjustments we made didn't work, and then maybe we wind up seeing a short series. So I think game one is going to be a really good indication of how the series is going to go, and it's going to be critical for the Lakers if they want to win the series. I think they got to get game one.
Trevor, from an offensive standpoint, neither of these two teams really shoot a ton of threes necessarily. Lakers, look, we know what they want to do. And look, LeBron has been, you got to give it to him. He's been terrific down the stretch, just, you know, getting to the rim and you know, just to be doing that, I think, at his age is absolutely remarkable. But do you expect with like you were saying, the playing of Vincent a little bit more, and certainly Rui is going to see, you know, his fair share here. Do you expect that the Lakers are going to try to beat the Denver Nuggets, though, from the outside? Because it is very hard, as good as they are in the fast break, it is very hard to get to the rim on this team.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to out of necessity. And the Lakers have been very good there. They've actually been, this hasn't been their MO historically, but they've been one of the better three-point shooting teams this season, even though, as you said, they don't take a high volume of threes. And that's why D'Angelo Russell is going to be so critical. In wins, D'Lo is shooting 45% from three, but in losses, he's shooting just 34%. So it's a really big difference, the two different versions of D'Angelo Russell that you can see. So he'll be important in that regard in order to get somebody to knock down those shots when he can go on a heater. He's really tough to stop. Austin Reeves is another guy that can shoot from outside. Rui Hachimura is the 12th best three-point shooter percentage-wise in the NBA this season. They're going to need to be able to convert from outside. And, of course, LeBron has had the best three-point shooting season of his career. So they're going to need to be able to continue to rely upon that, probably more so than they've done in the past. It's part of the challenge that the Lakers have with the Nuggets is that they kind of play a similar style where they want to get the ball to the rim and they want to make it tough for teams to score in the paint. The Nuggets have just been a little better at it than the Lakers have. So the three-point shot is the great equalizer, and I think the Lakers are going to have to rely upon it more than they have historically.
Yeah, you know, Trevor, it is fascinating to expand on what Wes is saying about LeBron. I don't know how many accolades we can give him at this point because it's tremendous to see what he's been able to do here in the second half. His confidence feels like it's at a resumed or sustained high going into this series against the Nuggets. It almost feels like to me he wants this challenge. I mean, he knows history, right? And he knows if LeBron's able to do this against the reigning defending champion Nuggets, it almost, if it's possible, gives him even more flowers. Do you get the sense that LeBron is welcoming this challenge?
Yeah, I think LeBron is always one to welcome challenges in general. I'm sure with the Nuggets, with them losing to Denver last year, with them winning the championship, all of that adds to it. But LeBron is always somebody who's looking forward to the next challenge and looking to try to overcome certain hurdles and things of that nature, and always looking to push himself. So I'm sure that is a factor in all of this. He will be locked in. We're going to see him doing everything he can to get this win. We know he badly wants to win another championship. And if he can do it by going through the Denver Nuggets, that's just one more feather in his cap, another thing to add to an extremely long list of accomplishments that he's had over an incredibly long career.
Trevor, looking at the series, and we'll focus on game one here, Denver, 7-point favorites, mm-hmm. 224 on the total. And then, of course, the series price, the Denver Nuggets, obviously the favorites here, about minus 360, minus 370, take back on the Lakers, about $3. In terms of how you think that the series is going to play out, what would be, I guess, we're not holding you to this here, but what would be your prediction in terms of this series? And would you expect that the Lakers are going to steal one of the first two in the Mile High City?
Yeah, I think that they will. This is, you know, I think they've lost their last eight against Denver. So I'm not, look, my if I'm talking to Lakers fans, my heart is saying, let's go Lakers, let's get the win. But if we're talking about you're going to try to put money on it or something like that, I think Denver probably does get this done and they get the win. I think it's just a really tough matchup for the Lakers, but I would expect it to go six. I think LeBron James being healthy, not being worn out from the long playoffs as he was last year, I think that is enough, in addition to what the improvements we've seen from the Lakers over the course of the season, to get a couple of wins against Denver. I think Denver would probably get it done in six games, but I think the Lakers do win at least two here. If they get the bad version of D'Angelo Russell that we saw last year, then all bets are off, but they could get swept again. But I think that they're going to get a better outing from D'Angelo Russell and ultimately get two wins in the series.
Absolutely fascinating. Trevor Lane, really appreciate you joining us here in the Progressive Guest Line. I got to cover Michael Jordan toward the ends of his career in DC, and it was fascinating. It's wild seeing this version of LeBron James. Enjoy it, Trevor. We appreciate the time and the information.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Trevor.
Great stuff from Trevor there. Yeah, I never want these guys to retire. And you nailed it on the head. It's amazing to see LeBron still at this age, at this level, and now going up against Joker in this matchup.
And knowing that he has to raise the stakes here with the future MVP on the other side.
Fascinating. We'll discuss more of that and the NFL draft next year on VEASAN Tonight.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what He says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is VSiN Tonight with Matt Eumanns and Wes Reynolds on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Do not miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. We are done with the play-in tournament. We got the finals. DraftKings Sportsbook's got you covered. Same-game parlays leading up to it. Live betting, odds boost, so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Use code VSiN. New customers can bet $5, get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That code is VSIN only on DraftKings, and the crown can be all yours. Back alongside Wes Reynolds, Dave Ross here as we get ready, can you believe it, for Thursday's NFL draft. Thursday,
Friday, and Saturday, but Thursday, of course, round one, the main event.
Yeah, but so I'm glad you pointed that out, because I think we all forget, oh, Thursday, it's done. No.
Yeah.
They got a lot of work to do come Friday, Saturday.
And before we get into this year's NFL draft, a memory was refreshed. Sadly, this was back in, 1994, the passing Super Sky Point to former Colts and Bears GM Bill Tobin,
yes,
who passes today at 83 years of age. Of course, we remember that moment where he went after Mel Kiper, and then
Hell is Mel Kiper Jr.?
Yes, he doesn't know any more than my postman, and my postman doesn't even have tickets to the NFL. But and by the way, Mel Kiper on Twitter, very classy today, you know, remarked, "A sad day with the passing of Bill Tobin, an accomplished front office executive who made the NFL a better league during his decorated career. Kim and I send our sincerest condolences to his family and loved ones." So very nice of Mel and classy of Mel to do that. And, you know, just to think about how this draft has grown, man.
From those days.
Yes.
And I remember that day, for those that don't know what Wes is referring to, Google it, kids. Absolutely.
Yeah.
A hallmark point of the draft.
I actually have it on my Twitter, because I retweeted that, I quote tweeted that video clip today. You know, and just remember, just to see how like young and fresh faced Mel Kiper was in the early 90s. And now he's got the gray hair, and he'd been doing it for 3 decades plus, man, and still doing it.
Very classy. And certainly you can understand why guys like Bill back in the day were getting questioned. This is happening, and it's happening. I'm seeing it all day today. We're going to talk, obviously, about
who would have thought that you could bet on this thing.
That's where we are now.
All those years ago.
And, you know, we saw that, Tim Murray, VSiN Primetime, and they had Derek Stevens on here, the CEO, obviously, of Circa, and they were talking about how much the books hate booking the draft, because it's kind of, for them, it's a hold on to your pants type deal, because buckle up, it's going to be a bumpy ride, and we're, as they say, just trying not to get hammered in this thing. I think the books always feel like in most given sporting events, they've got the advantage.
Yeah, because look, you have more of a betting market, because, you know, if you're betting just sides and totals or money lines, whether it's NFL and college football, it's going to be the biggest handle. But even college basketball, NBA, baseball, hockey, you know, depending on the market, you know, you have sharp bettors and you have casual bettors,
right,
and you know, newer bettors, whether they're public or, you know, whatever term you want to dub them as, bettors in the market. With the NFL, a lot of people, you know, that really follow this, it's all information based. It's not necessarily numbers and just, you know, market based, where it's like, okay, we set a number and the bettors are going to dictate where it goes. But there's not as much movement. Mm. There's not as much variance. You very rarely see any more. You know, back in the old days, you did, where you saw, okay, one shop in town is going to have a team minus three. And then a shop across the street is going to have it minus six. You know, where you had that variance, you know, because now you don't have that variance, because everybody's got the line screen. Everybody's got a Don Best or whatever line screen they use. So they can see, oh my gosh, we're off market. We got to move on air to get to that number, to get to where the rest of the market is. It's not necessarily action moving that. Whereas this, it's now a real race to the number, where it's like, okay, somebody sees something, somebody sees that, you know, an Adam Schefter tweet or a Pro Football Talk tweet or something. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay, we got to move to bet that. I mean, we've seen it this week with the movement with Drake May and with Jaden Daniels.
Yes.
Now, do you believe that that's just smoke or not? Because not every line move in the draft proves to be correct.
That's right.
You know, and so you got to be really careful with what you're doing. But, you know, a lot of it, and that's why I have very few bets on the NFL draft personally, even though it can be very lucrative and you can do very well in this as a bettor, just because of the volatility.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, what do they always say on, like, these financial shows, whether it's on CNBC or Fox Bigs, and the market hates uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I think Derek, in his own way, was saying when he was on with Tim Murray and JVT on VSiN Primetime earlier this week.
Yep.
Just saying, you know, yeah, we don't like to necessarily book that much. Look, at our friends at the South Point, they didn't put it up last year.
Oh,
and they're probably not going to this year, from what I gather. But, you know, some markets, like, you know, our buddy Chuck Esposito's out at Station Casinos out there at the Red Rock. He's an NFL junkie, so he puts this up. I think he was the first in the market here in Las Vegas. And then, of course, DraftKings has had it up for, you know, a month and a half, 2 months, basically since the combine.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, look, you know, you get a lot of volatility in this stuff, and that can eschew people from betting on it.
And for those that don't know, and again, if you're wondering how the Bears got the number one pick, it was because of a trade last year with Carolina to move up. Carolina used that pick last year to take Bryce Young, number one overall, out of Alabama. So that's why the Bears have the number one pick, because the top 18 teams in the draft order were non-playoff teams a year ago. Then you get to the wild card teams. They'll start picking at 19. Then it gets to the divisional round. They begin at 25. Then you get to the conference championships, and that's Detroit and Baltimore at 29-30. And then, of course, your two Super Bowl participants,
mm-hmm.
San Francisco, who loses, they're at 31, and Kansas City, the reigning defendings, with the last pick of the first round at 32. So that's how this all plays out each and every year. That format does not change, from the non-playoff teams to the wild card losers to divisional rounds to the conference to the Super Bowl. Now, there's one number that I want to bring to your attention and see what you think of it. There's a top five market on DraftKings. You see this order right now. And the reason why I bring that up is J.J. McCarthy, who's been kind of this year's lightning rod of quarterback,
right,
du jour. The number for J.J. McCarthy to be a top five pick in any order, does not matter, you got to lay $1.50. It's not a huge price.
Mm-hmm.
But then you got to look at the potential landing spots. And we know the Bears, obviously, Caleb Williams, there's nothing's going to happen between now and Thursday to change that.
Right.
He's going one. We got all kinds of smoke going on with Washington and New England.
It's going to be, it's going to be Daniels, or is it going to be May? Are the Patriots going to trade out? I don't necessarily think so. I wouldn't think that they would trade out if they're going to want a quarterback, that they just stay right where they are because they can grab one of those two.
And then there was the rumor mills that start, and you've seen the numbers associated, and this is exactly what Wes was just pointing at, that they were saying J.J. McCarthy is potentially in the mix at two or three. Now, this is why you sift through this stuff. Be careful what you read. Everything is not, these are reasons why these reports get out there. But if J.J. McCarthy, if we don't believe right now in the pecking order, that's Caleb, Drake, we figure out
Daniels,
which way that's going to go. Daniels, Drake, we don't know 2-3, right?
Mm-hmm.
That leaves only two more spots for this prop at minus $1.50 to hit in the top five.
And everybody is pointing to Marvin Harrison Jr. going four to Arizona. And then, of course, at five is JJ's former coach, Jim Harbaugh, and the Chargers.
There's no way he can draft them,
no,
right?
Not when you have Justin Herbert. I can't buy it. Because the Chargers, I think, if the Patriots don't do it, the Chargers are the prime candidate to trade out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Chargers, I got to think, look, now they could stay there if Harrison is gone. If they really like Neighbors, they can stay there and draft Neighbors at five, or they can draft Joe Alt, but they could maybe trade out because somebody might be wanting to trade up for McCarthy. So that's where I think the draft is really going to get interesting, is with the Chargers, because I think that they are willing to trade out. I think we know what the Chargers want to do. that they want to get either offensive line or wide receiver. I think that that's – and they have it available if they stay there, but what can they pick up?
Right.
Can we pick up – because, you know, you have more than those holes on your roster, and you have kind of a tight salary cap, and that's why you had to let Keenan Allen walk, basically. So you have to be able to, I think, acquire more talent. And maybe that's like, okay, if you want to move up that bad, are you going to give me a second rounder? Are you going to give me a third rounder? Then, okay, we'll move down, and maybe we don't get Neighbors, but maybe we get Roma Dunze.
Right.
And we're fine with that if we get a receiver, or we could get Joe Alt with the, you know, eighth pick or something, or wherever they trade down to.
That's the fascinating part. So again, when you see these numbers, you go, oh, I got to lay that with J.J. McCarthy at $1.50 because you have all these outs. You really don't.
No, you don't.
You don't have as many outs as you think.
Because I tend to think he's not going in the top five.
Right. I would kind of lean towards the plus money that J.J. doesn't go. And again, it would then have to be worked on a deal, you would think, theoretically, if you're going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. going four, that it would take a trade for somebody to trade up to five in order to cash that ticket at minus $1.50.
Yeah, 100%. I think that, you know, Cat's kind of out of the barn on that one, and I think maybe has gone a little bit too far. So no for me on the McCarthy at minus $1.50.
Get ready, kids. It's going to be a wild week before we get to Thursday's draft. Okay, when we come back, top of the hour, let's reset the NBA second season. The playoffs set to begin in earnest next year on VSiN Tonight.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.